Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 25th of May. I'm Paul White. I realized after the last couple of podcasts that I did not tell you about our Sunday sermon. I've been recording messages from my office since we're not traveling. I'm heading out this weekend. That's going to change for a few weeks, but the sermon that I put up this past weekend is available wherever you listen to the podcast, or of course it's available on video at YouTube. Our page there is PWM, or you can get all of that at our website. That sermon is titled, "The Lion is the Lamb," and I capitalize the I and the S. The Lion is the Lamb, and I'm not trying to be controversial. It's very popular to say the Lion and the Lamb, as if Jesus manifests as a lion and as a lamb, but I don't believe that's what Revelation 5 indicates, and we jump into that text to look at the lion is the lamb and why an understanding of the lion being the lamb could influence your understanding of the book of Revelation, but most definitely will influence your understanding of the kingdom of God on the earth and begin to identify which kingdom you are a part of. So go check out The Lion is the Lamb. It has been up for about a day on all of our platforms, so go catch it. And I think you'll be blessed. I wrestled with some of the concepts in that for weeks before releasing that, before preaching that and then releasing that. And I look forward to doing more work on that in front of some live audiences and sort of expand some of those thoughts. We are in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Let me read for you the first few verses. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." I'm going to read verse 4 too, because it's still the sentence continues to go. "Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Note at the top of the chapter that the grace of God bestowed on the churches at Macedonia brings something out of them. And this is something that can't be lost in the teaching of grace. Grace brings something out in us. This section really concerns the collection of money for poor Christians located in Jerusalem. You want to do some cross-reference study, and I'm not going to go back and read all these, but if you want to do a little Bible study on your own, go read Acts chapter 19, verses 21-22. Read Romans 15, verses 25-28. Read 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1-4. That, by the way, that 16th chapter, you and I went over that together. That Paul starts that chapter by going, "Concerning the collection for the saints, I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also." And so he's already spoken to this Corinthian church once about giving. It's not greedy to talk to the church about giving. It's not satanic to bring up giving. I think greed can play a role in ministries talking about giving, no doubt about it. And I think anything that begins to replace grace and the great exchange, the reconciliation, with your giving, or put a price on those things in accordance to your giving, I think that's satanic. Anything attached to the favor of God with money, you can't buy that. Peter rebuked a man in the book of Acts because he asked to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter said, you can't buy that, because there are things you can't buy. Money can't buy them. And so you can't purchase favor. You can't purchase the anointing. This is why I have a problem with ministers or ministries talking to you about financial blessings and cursings that revolve around how much you give or don't give. You know, if you don't give this amount, then you'll be financially cursed. If you'll give this specific amount, the Lord told me to tell you, you'll be blessed. I don't buy that. To me, that's satanic. To me, that puts a price tag, and maybe I'm wrong, but it looks to me like it puts a price tag on the anointing. Maybe people aren't doing it that way. Maybe they're not Maybe they're not saying I'm putting a price tag on the anointing, but to me, when you establish giving, financial giving, as the basis for God to move, then God can be bought in that area. And how much would that be worth? And if he could, do you think you could afford it? So there's a lot of stuff there. Okay. I just want to say, there is giving in grace. And there is grace in giving. In fact, when he talks about, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, giving money to help others in need is a result of God's grace. You don't see the early church talk a lot about giving money to just anything to help. Giving money to charities to help. Giving money to unbelievers to help. Although I think the spirit of it is found in Jesus' teaching on the kingdom. You give a cup of cold water in my name. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. The least of these would indicate people who are the least deserving of the cup of cold water. And so the teachings of Jesus do show us giving in that respect. The writings of the early church, the writings of the New Testament, epistles particularly, tend to put that giving towards other believers, towards the, quote-unquote, as Paul says in Galatians 6, the family, the household of the family of God. It doesn't limit it to that, but it focuses on that. You see them raising funds to help other Christians in need. I want to just be honest about that, but also to establish that it's that the teachings of the kingdom according to Jesus expand the borders beyond just believers, which tells me that the kingdom expands the borders beyond the ones you think are worthy. So God's about to be careful when you hear people talk about who deserves and who doesn't deserve. That's a, and I'm not casting stones, but that's a really big American thing to do. We Americans love to determine who deserves, who's earned, who's worthy, who should get, who has the right to get. And when you start to do that, I think you start to build fences around who belongs and who doesn't belong. You dip over into an exclusivity of the gospel. Some people are so scared of the word inclusion or included that they almost preach a gospel of exclusion, in which people are excluded from favor, excluded from blessing, excluded from charity, excluded from rights, excluded from privilege, because to include them might be putting people in that we don't think deserve it. Let's allow the grace of God to determine where people are, but let us open our hearts to be part of that provision. So giving money to help other Christians was a part of the grace of God, according to these first few verses. And God provides both the resource, because here's what I think that grace is. It's both the resource and the willingness to use the resource. And sometimes even be above and beyond. When Paul talks about the churches of Macedonia, by the way, that is the churches at Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. We actually have three letters to at least two of those churches. And that's the book of Philippians and the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Those are churches in Macedonia. And Paul's telling the comparatively wealthy Corinthians, who were probably in one of the most diverse metropolitan cities in the Roman Empire, and one of the wealthiest. They're a comparatively wealthy church. And he's telling that church about the generosity of the Macedonian churches who are just to the north of Corinth. Those Macedonian churches are dirt poor by contrast to the Corinthian church. So by looking at the Macedonian church, go, look how much they're giving. They've even found an abundance of joy in their deep poverty, in verse 2. So that joy isn't related to money or financial worth. So Paul goes a little deeper with that. For I bear witness that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. All right, we'll pick up starting in verse 5, end out of 4 and on into 5 tomorrow on the podcast. I'll see you then. God bless.